Those of you who were around yesterday morning will have hopefully noted my absence for the first hour or so when myself and Hannah were leading the group of children in their activities, and we came back in with a giant triangle that we'd made. I told them, you know, the adults were going to have a little one on a bit of paper or something, and we needed to do it properly. But one of the other things we were doing was we had the word discipleship, and was getting them to decorate it as we were talking about it, and various different kind of creative things were given out, and one was they could do some finger painting. It was really interesting. Some were really delicate. I won't let you guess whether it was the boys or the girls. Some were really delicate, and others just made this mass of rather disgusting looking coloured paint and just covered their letter in that sort of thing. But it got me thinking, and I was thinking this morning, I thought, you know, kind of as we continue our journey, I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to paint anything. I don't know. I know some here are kind of very artistic and really enjoy kind of painting landscapes or people or that sort of thing. You obviously need your kind of, you know, maybe not bigger this, but you need an easel. You need your canvas that you're going to work from, something nice and blank, so you can really put your mark on it. You need your different tools. Now, yesterday we were into poster paint, which is, you know, kind of washes off very easily, which is great with kids. So you could have your variety of colours there. You could go for something a bit more fancy, which is tubes of stuff, which just looks painful. And obviously you need your brushes of a nice selection sort of thing. Or you could go for something a bit more kind of simple, just a nice bit of watercolour with your bit of water. Okay. And then get your paintbrush. You then obviously, usually you'll see it, you've got to do that thing with the thumb, haven't you? Where you kind of stand at it and you go like that, because that makes you a proper painter if you do that. You can kind of squint if you want a little bit, and I like to stick my tongue out the side of my mouth as well, because I think that really makes me look like I don't do. You've got to judge your proportions, what's it going to look like, where you're going to start. You're going to start at the top, the bottom, the middle, all this sort of thing. Because I thought actually it'd be really interesting to paint a picture of God's community. It'd be really interesting to try and depict this morning, what does the family of God look like? What does the church actually kind of appear? If we were going to try and create, I won't call it a masterpiece, but you know, we're going to try and actually put on this canvas what we think the community of God should appear like, should look like. What things would come to mind? So we consider a passage from Ephesians this morning. We're not going to kind of maybe just think of it necessarily as a static point, but actually, where are we heading? It could be very easy to paint a picture of and put a pin in a dot, almost this is where we are now, but actually, what is it that we believe God is saying? What do we hope is ahead of us and is further along the journey? You've got a Bible. I encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 16. As an aside, in the NIV, it has that little subheading that it gives you. It says, unity and maturity in the body of Christ. I genuinely, when I first was looking at this passage and preparing for today, I actually read unity and mutiny in the body of Christ. I think it may have been in part because we'd been watching a TV show, I think the night before, all about Mutiny on the Bounty. But I think it's actually also quite powerful in terms of some of the things, as we'll see, that Paul is talking about. I read from verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supportive ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. A passage like this is a real reminder that the letters that Paul writes are not just kind of skim reads letters. You know, I don't know if you ever get a letter in the post, if you still send letters. You know, I got one the other day from my aunt, and it was great. And you kind of couldn't just kind of skim read it because there was so much information she was putting in it. Whereas sometimes you get those ones, you can almost kind of read the first line and the last line, and you kind of know what's been said in the middle, and there's not really much there at all. It's not the case at all with Paul, and very much not in this passage. The vastness of what he's actually talking about, he wouldn't fit into one sermon. But I want us to again return to that question. What does the family of God look like? What does the community of believers, the body of Christ, what do we see? And what is it that Paul is advocating and encouraging here to the church in Ephesus? I want to pick up on a few different themes that he goes through. Initially, I believe it is about change. Body of Christ needs to be about change. The whole thrust of what Paul is writing about refers to the fixed points, if you will, of where the readers are and where they need to aim to be. So where they find themselves now, but also where they should attain and attest to be in the future. Verse 1 talks about live a life. You can't live a life and stay in the same place. Verse 3, make every effort. It's about putting in an attribute of a willingness. Verse 11 talks about, so Christ gave, and then he lists the various different roles. Verse 12, to equip his people. Not to stay in the same spot, but to be ready for all that is to come. Verse 14, then we will no longer be. Talking about that future point beyond where they find themselves currently. And then verse 16, as it ends, as each part does its work, it's this lovely ongoing perpetual image that Paul paints it. It's this clear focus of moving forward. If you were here on the morning when we launched our current series, Real Life Steps, there were the three images that I used. There was the step ladder talking about access, there was the stepping stones in terms of direction, and there was the escalator talking about movement. And again, that escalator comes up here. It's this idea of how are we changing, how are we moving forward, how are we recognizing that where we are now, not say it's a bad place, but actually how is it not where God ultimately wants us to be? How are we constantly seeking to grow more in his likeness? Over the weekend, we've had that image of the triangle being used to help unpack discipleship, the idea of our different relationships. So up to God, in to those within our community here, and out to the world around us. It's the whole question of how are we journeying with people? And the challenge there really comes in that last word. How are we journeying with people? Because the life of a disciple, the life of the church, it's not about being lone wolves or kind of trying to exist in as some kind of hermit. The idea that I don't really actually want to be around anyone else. And you might kind of go, but that's kind of obvious, isn't it? You know, the idea that we're in community says about other people. But on more than one occasion over the years, I've had conversations with people who've said, well, I'm kind of done with church. Or not church per se, but just church community. I don't need all the people. I'm okay on my own. and I'm going to keep doing my thing on my own. I still love God, and I'm still going to read the Bible. I'm still going to seek to grow and develop. But I'm just going to sidestep that whole muddiness of doing it with other people. And it's that challenge for us to recognize that actually we're in this together. But also, I think it's that challenge of saying, as the community of God's people, it's not kind of come and join our club, come and be like us, come and do as we say, but rather, let's grow together. As we've taken the theme, the title for this weekend, let's grow together. Let's recognize the power of Jesus in our lives. Let's recognize the potential in his teachings and the impact they can have, and let's seek to follow him alone and above all else. And it's asking that question, how are we constantly changing? If you picture some stagnant water, went past some yesterday, my two thoughts were, that stinks, and I really don't want to fall in that. And it was this kind of pond sort of area, and it just reeked. I don't know how long it had been there. It'd gone that funny kind of oily colour almost, because whatever happens in water, I'm sure someone could tell me, you know, when it just sits there, it's disgusting. But yeah, I wonder sometimes we don't actually sense the aromas of us stagnating, whether as believers, whether as a community. God calls us to move forward, to be ready to thrive as his creation, and to grasp the fact that change is a part of that, because none of us have arrived and have made it and have all the answers and it all sorted. And therefore, we need to be moving forward. If we build on that, change is not enough, because I think Paul also emphasizes the whole issue of unity. If we read the first couple of verses, verse 2, it says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And then you read the whole passage again to some extent as it follows on. But particularly, I mean, it talks in verse 5, talking about this whole idea of kind of, you know, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is over all and through and all and in all. And it's that kind of verse that maybe we either might kind of go, "Well, that would look really nice with a picture background and we could put on Facebook," or we'll put it on a bit of cross stitch and put it on a cushion. You know, it's a great verse, and it will look great in one way or the other, whichever is your chosen persuasion. But actually, it's not just something to go, "Isn't that a nice verse to try and remember?" But actually, it's something that should make a difference in terms of how we live, in terms of how we exist, in terms of how we engage with one another, so that when you move right forward and towards the end of the section that I read in verse 14, Paul talks about, you know, then you will no longer be infants, because you will have moved on. You will no longer be tossed back and forwards by the waves. You will no longer be blown here and there, because you're together, because you're united in the Spirit. And this is the challenge, I think, that Paul is raising here. I mean, we need to be careful that we could read this and kind of go, okay, so what Paul's saying is we need to be wary of any nutters who come along with really zany ideas. So let's picture someone comes in and says, "I really believe the Lord is saying that you need to eat 17 bowls of cornflakes a day, they need to be drenched in water that needs to have been boiled 17 and a half minutes previously, and you need to do it before 7:32 every day. That is what the Lord is saying." We'd kind of go, "Hold on a second, that's just crazy." You know, anyone who's suggesting that is just, well, a nutter, has lost it, is making no sense at all. And on the one hand, yes, we need to guard ourselves against false teachings, false doctrines, things that are blatantly not found in the Word of God. And I'm sure if we had a discussion, we could reference various things throughout the years. People have said, "This is going to happen," or "God is saying this." And they're just so far off, they just don't make any sense. But on the other hand, and this is where I think Paul is talking here, we need to be aware that well, maybe it's a bit late, because actually the nutters are already here. That's you, that's me. We're the nutters, to take what Paul is saying here, because we're the ones that, well, I have my ideas, I have my train of thought, I have my hobby horse, I have the thing that I think is so important that I'm going to push through, my agenda that might not be wrong, but I'm going to champion to the nth degree. And so we end up with different camps within the community of God. We have different opinions, different people who are so entrenched in what they're saying, in what they believe, that actually we're just being battered left and right, back and forward. And it's not in no way saying, basically, shut up and do as I say, because that's not what I think Paul is saying here. He's actually saying, how are you united in what God is doing? How are you together in what he has set before you? How are you endeavouring to be on the same page, keeping the unity of the Spirit? So I think it's about change. I think it's about unity. I think it's also about longing to embody truth, which is one of those words that you might say, kind of, you know, what does that actually mean? Different people, different opinions in this day and age, maybe. Verse 4. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body, so verse 15, of him who is the head, that is Christ. Now, as the third point, I could probably get away with just downplaying this. You know, I've talked for quite a while already. So the third bit, everyone's kind of going, yeah, you can wrap this up, really. We'll move swiftly on. Yeah, change, brilliant. Unity, good stuff. Truth, again, I'm not really quite sure about that, but probably there's something to say. The reality is, this is where the rubber hits the road, I think. This is where it gets a little uneasy for us, potentially. This is where, actually, we need to take stock of how we're living our lives and how we're living our lives as disciples together, as the community of God, as the family that God has brought us to be. See, we need the truth, but we need it spoken in love. We need to be willing to say what needs to be said, but at the same time, there are some people who, and maybe you can think of them, maybe you can't, who just love a good fight. Who just, you know, it's like in the playground, you know, you suddenly hear that call, or maybe you didn't, but you suddenly hear that call that there's a fight going on, and everyone just rushes to see, because we just love it, don't we? And we love to see who's getting whatever beaten out of them that day. And in the same way, there's some people who actually really like just causing trouble. And I like having a good, you know, kind of giving a good dig and twisting it, so to speak. Rather than actually saying, how can we move forward together? Recognizing that things maybe need to be said, but actually the way we do it needs to be done in a way that glorifies and honors God. Challenge is that, as Mark was sharing yesterday, if you were here, that can be hard because it means I've got to be open. I've got to be willing to be accountable. I've got to actually be listening to what others might say. A good friend of mine who passed away recently was an elder over at Beulah when I was there. And I can still remember him once talking to me, and I'd gone forward for prayer about something. And he in a nice sort of way, he kind of told me off. And he said, Ed, you know, don't ever think just because you're one of the ministers, you can't come forward. You can't actually be real with where you're at. And in the same way yesterday, as the small groups were sharing, it's that whole idea of actually being willing to be accountable to others. Are we willing to actually go, no, I want people to speak into my life. I want people to challenge me because I believe they're going to do it in a way that longs the best for me. Because we're wanting to grow together as God's family. It's that high accountability, openness to being challenged. And I think we can do that, but it requires regularly coming back to the source, coming back to Jesus and saying, fill me afresh. Yesterday was great, but I need it again today. this morning was brilliant, but I need it again this afternoon. 5 minutes ago was, yeah, I was there, but now I need you again. And actually being willing to constantly come back, lay ourselves before God, so that, as it ends in verse 16, each part does its work. So you're able to be all that God has created you to be, which is something truly wonderful, as part of the body here, as part of the community that you have been placed in. I don't think that means we've all got to be best friends and greatest buddies and all that sort of thing, but I think it does mean that, well, actually, no, I've got your back. And I want to support you. And I recognize that actually there's diversity here. And that's not a bad thing. We're unique. We're different. But together, we can fulfill God's purposes. Not our agenda, not my agenda, but God's. If we come back to this whole question of what do we think the family of God looks like? What kind of picture we could paint? The truth is, we can't paint that picture. The truth is that it's not something any of us, however gifted we may be, in terms of our artistic talent, could put down on this board, however long I gave you. Because actually it's something that together we are going to create. And not with any kind of materials, but with our lives. And the hard thing is that actually we could make a real mess of it. We could really do a bad job. We could really create something that we won't want to be vaguely compared to being involved in. Because actually we'll look back and we'll go, what happened there? Or we can say, no, God, I want you to create something beautiful through us in this community, making a difference wherever we go. This I finish. On Monday night at our prayer and praise, Andy Garlick shared the image from Luke 17:6 of the mustard seed. And a mustard seed, and Andy's got one in his Bible he was given years ago at an event, stuck in there, and it's tiny. You just think, kind of, what can a mustard seed that small do? The whole heart of what Jesus is saying to you is faith as small as a mustard seed can move a mountain. Bunch of nutters like us, I believe God can do the most amazing things, but we need to be willing to move forward for him. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for the truth that is within that, and I pray that the things that you've been saying to us today will be the things that we will be challenged by, we'll grab hold of, and we'll move forward into. I pray, Father, for any this morning, Lord, who are questioning what part maybe they could play. I pray, Lord, that you will speak into their lives afresh. I pray, Lord, that you will help us all together to grow into all that you long for us to be.